Amen. Thank you, Isaac. What a blessing to be with you. You all lift me up every week. I tell you, the purpose of family, God could have made bunches of individual Christians. He could have said, if you come to Christ, you just go off and do the best you can. I'll get you at the end. But that's not what he did. He said, when you're brought into my son, you're made part of his body. And as his body, you're to function together as a body and build up one another as a body and serve one another as a body and love one another as a body and bear with one another as a body and bear one another's burdens and all that great body stuff. And that's what we are, the very body of Christ today. And that's exciting, challenging. Very challenging, confusing sometimes, but deeply rewarding. Deeply rewarding. I hope the extra time together has blessed you and your family, that you've been able to slow down, as we talked about last Sunday, and pull together as family and get those quiet evenings to pray together. We had three things we challenged ourselves in last week, that over the next couple of weeks, from last Sunday when we said it to the beginning of the of 2010, we would do three things. Two of them we do every day, and one is we would pray as a husband and wife every day, for obviously for those of you who are married, that we would pull together just a husband and wife and pray every day, and that we would pray as a family every day, a non-meal prayer. Sandwiches and french fries don't count. I mean, they count, but you know. But some prayer together that's just a prayer for who you are and where you're going and walking with God every day as family. And the third thing is that one time during that two-week period that you would make a contact with somebody else, with another family here in the church, with an individual here, that you would go visit them, that you would have them come visit you, that you would contact or bring them something in some particular way that would add to your relationships in the body. So I continue to exhort you to keep that up, keep going, and to have those prayers and to have that contact because we need it. We dearly need it. Let's go to our Father before we get into today's lesson. Precious Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the magnificent gift of your Son. Father, we see this as a gift-giving time in the celebration of the holidays as we've had them. And Father, we pray that we appreciate truly your continuous flow of gifts, all centered around and beginning with and highlighted in and focused on the gift of your very Son, that you brought him to this earth, allowed him to be the sacrifice for all of us, that we might be washed clean and brought home to you. Help us to treasure relationships, Father, as you give us example, and help us in this lesson to get out of it that which you need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we started or read Psalm 127 in the first verse being, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Obviously, the writer of the psalm is not talking about literal homes. He's talking about lives. He's talking about unless it's God who's building what it is you treasure, who puts together the blocks of life that make up what you do and who you are, what make up your day, it's in vain. In other words, it's not going to last. It's not going to make it. And that's where Job 8 kind of picks up what Isaac read for us. Job 8, starting in verse 11. Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can rushes grow without water? While it is still green and not cut down, yet it withers before any other plant. The image is marshlands. You know, we have a grass expert. If you need to know how to grow grass, go talk to Judd Scott. He's an expert at growing grass. But one of the things we don't appreciate about grass is supposed to turn brown. Almost all grasses are supposed to turn brown. That's what they do in dry seasons. The rains don't come for a couple of months, and the grass says, I'm out of here. I'm just going to shut down for a while. And they shut down, and they still cover the ground, but they're brown. And then the rains come back, and they go, yep, we're on. We're here. And they turn green again, and they keep growing. And they're talking about marsh grasses here that grow up when the waters come in. And during the rainy seasons, the waters come down the rivers and fill in the marshes, and all the marshes turn bright green until the dry season comes and the waters seep on out to the oceans and the marshlands go brown. And he's comparing that, verse 13, are the paths of all who forget God. That our faith is like grass. You're bright and green as long as you're getting what you want. Got it. I'm satisfied. I've got moisture. I've got nourishment. Wait a second. It's not as easy anymore. I'm drying. Things are drying up around here. I don't like this. This isn't comfortable. This doesn't feed my needs. I don't feel right. Whatever the excuse is, and then in our faith, we pull back and weaken and say, you know what? I don't know. Let me know when things get better again. I'll be here. I'll be back here. I'm going to turn brown for a while. So are the paths of all who forget God. Remember, we're to be like the tree that puts its roots down deep in Psalm 1 and flourishes and brings fruit in season. We're not to be like the grasses that go green and brown and green and brown and green and brown, depending on our temporary environment. Verse 13, so are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish, for whose confidence is fragile. Some people have fragile confidence. I believe in the Bible, and I know there's a God, and I know the Bible is His word, unless somebody gives me a hard time about it, unless some challenge comes up against God or the evidences of God or the Bible. Whose confidence is fragile, verse 14, and whose trust a spider's web. He trusts in his house, but it does not stand. In other words, we trust in our own house. He holds fast to it, but it does not endure. He thrives before the sun, and shoots spread out over his garden. His roots wrap around a rock pile. He grasps a house of stones. If he is removed from his place, then it will deny him, saying, I never saw you. The description in Job 8 is of an individual who's living this shallow faith, temporary Christian life. I'll be a Christian. In Job, it wouldn't have been referring to Christians specifically. It would have been referring to a follower of God under the earlier covenants. But the application is equal, if you'll just bear with me. The person of faith who says, I've got my faith in God, I've got my fellowship, I've got my connection, I've got my commitment, as long as it's going my way. As long as it's comfortable, as long as I'm being fed, as long as my needs are being met. So are the paths of all who forget God. You know, we build up houses. In this description in verse 15, of the person who trusts in his house. If you were to sit down with a life planner, teenagers, it's not a bad idea to look ahead to your life and say, how am I going to accomplish my goals? What kind of education do I need? What kind of location should I live in? What sort of pattern should I set up as a work and skills development? And so somebody could sit with you and plan out your life, and what they would do is say, okay, you need the right amount of education, and then from that you'll develop into a good amount of experience, and then you need a good job, a good place to live, and you can sprinkle marriage and family in there as you like. And then you need to start developing a good retirement account, a good health care system, you're going to have children, you're going to have to need a good college fund, and they would create this life plan. And some of that would be even very good in the sense of developing skills and discipline and hard work and all of those things that make for life. But all of that put together, if it's not God designed, if it's not the Lord who builds that, it's going to fail. And it may not fail this year. It may not fail this decade. It may not fail ever in a visual way in your life. In other words, there are people who live very successful lives financially and health-wise and relationship-wise. They have friends and nice homes to live in and good retirement plans and all the rest of it. But when they get to the very end of their life, and I think this is what most people's midlife crisis is about, midlife, end-of-life crisis, is you say, what am I doing? What's the purpose of all this? Am I just building a life so that I'll die and somebody else will build up a life and then they'll die and somebody else will? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You see, what God gives us is purpose, but it's purpose at the grandest level. It's purpose connected to eternity, to the eternal one, to God himself. Now, of course, at the beginning of that is the faith in God, is the knowledge in God, is the belief that there is a God and that he's the creator of all things. We'll be in Hebrews 11 in just a minute. We'll be in Hebrews 11. Psalm 127, I read a minute ago, the beginning. I want to jump to Psalm 128. I want to go to Psalm 128, verse 1. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And then it continues to talk about relying on God and on the gift of family that he gives us. In Psalm 128, it's almost a continuation of the very thoughts of Psalm 127. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, verse 1, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. As you've been sitting around having family meals lately, think about that. Think about sitting around that table as you might have done over the last 48 hours or 72 hours. And you've got your children and you've got your in-laws and you've got your loved ones and your friends and your wife, and you look at them as fruitful enjoyment of life, as blessings themselves. Your wife like a fruitful vine, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That the pattern of life, when it's filled in by God, then has a fulfillment, a purpose, a depth that makes every part of that a blessing. Every part of that an opportunity to give glory to God and to grow with God, as you get to love and connect with all of their lives and the continuation. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. You see, this begins with faith. The very beginning of Psalm 128, we just read, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. We know fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are to be people who know and appreciate and fear God, know who he is and what he's doing. Look at Hebrews 11, starting in verse 6, please. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And then he goes on and starts listing Noah and Abraham and the rest, who by faith took one action or another. But there's a couple of things here that we're being asked to do, that the basis of our life, remember the fear of God, remember the basis for all of this, the purpose for all of this, unless it's God who builds a house. In other words, you stand back and say, Father, I trust you with how I love and serve and rule my family, how I lead and connect, how I pattern my day, where I go to work. Father, I trust you with who I am and what I do. Without faith, it is impossible to please get him. There are two things that we're asked to do. For he who comes to God must, one, believe that he is. It may seem simple, kind of obvious, but the first step of our Christian walk is God is. You establish God is. One of the things we really enjoy about our 1220 evolution classes is we're establishing support and background and just adding to the mountains of evidence around us that show that God is. You got to believe that he is, that the powerful, that the infinitely powerful creator of the universe lives and breathes and has put breath in your life. That he is. And number two, the second thing we're told that is necessary to have in our life is that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, that's on a couple of levels. One is if you seek God, he'll reward your seeking. And two is that he rewards you. When you go down through, and we don't have any amount of time to do this in this lesson, but when you go down through Hebrews 11, you will find one catastrophe after difficulty, after anguish, after challenge, one after another, all the way through the description of all of these people of faith, you'll find a hard, challenged life. You don't find by faith God plucked somebody out of the desert and the difficulty and placed him in gardens and palaces and fed him fattening foods all the days of his life and surrounded him with loving, perfect families. God does not interact with our lives to pluck us out of trouble and to give us just tasty, light, easy blessings all the rest of our lives. If you doubt the challenges, join me in verse 33 as the sentence continues of Hebrews 11. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain the better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Even on the positive side, before you get to the son and two, even on the positive side of that list, you've got lions and fire and sword and war, even though they were saved from lions and victorious in war and not run through by the sword. You still had to face the lions and the sword and the war and the fire. Those are God's blessings. You see, when God says you need to believe that He is one and believe that He rewards those who seek Him too, He's not talking about, all right, you believe in me? Great. Now I'm going to make everything lovely and soft and easy for you. No, it means that as you go through the anguish and pains and challenges and struggles from life, you say, thank you, Father, I know that you're guiding me. Thank you, Lord, I know that you're there. Thank you, Lord, I know that there's growth and blessings to be had in each and every situation. Unless the Lord builds the house, they who build it labor in vain. You see, when you build a life on this earth, you'll build it with retirement funds and medical plans and education. When you build a house in God's plan, you build it on faith and strength of character and moral fortitude and serving and giving and never giving up. You see, it's a totally different structure. This perfect little retirement-centered, money-supported, comfortable life that actually we've kind of perfected in this Western world. You know, I don't know what you had over, you probably had a nice meal over the past few days. Somebody may have cooked a roast or a turkey or a ham or whatever, and I was going to bring a tangerine up here. We've got some at home. You can buy them. They're half price. Never mind. You know, those little clementines or whatever those things are called. I don't know. Florida, Mexico, South America. I don't know where those are grown. I'm eating them nearly fresh. Snow's 2 feet deep out in the backyard, and I'm peeling this thing that was grown thousands of miles away. You have eaten better than the richest kings of the world not a couple of hundred years ago. The strongest, mightiest, wealthiest kings of the world could not eat as well as you have been eating over the last few days. You want a hot drink? You heat it up. You want a cold drink? You reach for the ice cubes. You want sweetness in something? You get the sugar bowl out. You want citrus fruit? You want vegetables, fresh vegetables with crispy leaves and tasty dressings. You want meat of one or another 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 kind? Just go pick one up and cook it at home. You've been eating finer. You see, our blessings are in the physical sense are just getting more and more and more and more comfortable. And the challenge to push that aside and say, this is not the goal of my life. This is not the point of my life, to make my days more comfortable and my meals more lush. Because a life that's built on my own comfort, on my own retirement account, on my own medical plan, on my own anything, it's going to collapse when I'm looking for it to stand. It could collapse medically, because we know no medical plan will stop all the diseases. It could collapse relationship-wise. It could collapse all kinds of financially. We just had a mini collapse over the last year. But God's talking about the big collapse, the collapse for eternity. What are you going to do when you face death? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? when the strength of your home is being challenged by the real storm, the storm of death. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll wrap up the lesson. You see, the blessing of God, that God will reward those who seek him, the blessing of God of those challenges in relationships, of those challenges in health, of those challenges at work, of those challenges in financial ways, are blessings because of who he is and how he wants to grow us, of what he really wants us to do. Many of you celebrated Christmas in a traditional way. There's a tree, there's a bunch of gifts, there's children tugging at you 6:45, Friday morning or whatever. Did anybody deliberately go and want to get their children everything they want? Anybody not have a child who can make a list longer than you're going to fulfill? I mean, you say, got it. The child will go, really? Okay, well, I can do this and I can do this. Is our Heavenly Father going to continue to fulfill a list of I want? Do you do that for your children? No. I'm sorry, darling. You sit right there. I know you're watching your show. I'll take out the trash. No. Don't get up. I'll make your bed. No, I wouldn't want you to bother. I'll fold your clothes. I'll bring you your toothbrush and help you brush right here on the couch. Do you live your life that way? No. Shut the TV off. Trash hasn't been taken out. Should have done that first. Nope, you're not going to watch anymore this morning. I told you what to do first. What? Crisis, anguish, death and destruction has now hit your living room. And so it is with your Heavenly Father. He does not give you the gimme list that we have in front of us, even if we're quiet and pious about it. Lord, I just want my little fair share. I just want what I deserve. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech, of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him living lushly in a palace for decades on this earth. No, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Let's jump down so we can wrap the lesson up. Verse 9. But as it is written, Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2. Things which the eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot imagine. You cannot imagine the magnificence of God's gifts to you. We're not getting them all now. We're getting plenty of them right now. The list of his blessings are on us every day. But he has blessings for you, prepared for you, that are eternally awesome. And he wants out of us now that determined, Father, you're going to be the one who builds my life. And I am never letting go of you. I am never leaving you. That our struggles and challenges on this earth are the hand of God. Now, don't get me wrong. God does not bring anybody to sin nor cause sin. So we have plenty of pain brought into our lives by our own sins. Right? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. You can think about it representatively. We bring plenty of mess into our own lives by our own sins. And plenty of pain is brought into our lives by other people wronging God. But God deliberately brings challenges and struggles and brings us to those points so that we can grow to be the daughters and sons that he needs us to be. And we should praise him and thank him for all of them, because we cannot imagine how magnificent his gifts are to be for us. It all comes through the cross. It all comes because of the death and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all brought back about to be available to us because he was raised from the dead. He defeated sin that we might come back to God. So, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, says Paul. We'll leave it at that for the wrap-up of this lesson. Let us remember Jesus Christ and him crucified for us. If any today have not been baptized into Christ, and if you're ready to make that choice to be joined with him in his victory over death, death, burial, and resurrection is the symbol that baptism makes with Christ. If you're ready for that or you have any other needs, please don't let today go by without letting them be known. Come forward and let us know about them while we stand and sing the song that Perry selected.